Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and with me today is Josiah Aston, who is a financial coach and helps individuals overcome financial hurdles to reach their dreams. Welcome, Josiah.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, absolutely. I'm glad that we were able to jump on this kind of impromptu. We were having a phone call earlier on this topic, and I said, man, we need to record a podcast. So we jumped on there. So I think it's going to be good. Want to have a conversation today and talk a little bit about delving into some practical steps that people can take to manage money wisely and to align your financial decisions with your values and with your beliefs and to have purpose, do things on purpose instead of just wondering where all your money went and wondering why you're continuing to struggle, have everything that you do connect back to purpose. And that's what we talk about here on the Blessed Business Podcast is we want to connect money to mission. If you have a strong connection to purpose and to mission, then a lot of the other things, whether it's the desire to start a business and all the things that it takes to get to do that, that's a very difficult thing, right? To get that off the ground, that comes when you're connected to mission to purpose and the blessing of God flows behind that. But then also taking control of your finances and being a wise steward, that's important as well. And so when you connect that to mission and say, this is why I'm a steward, because I have hopes, I have dreams, and I want to be connected to being a giver in the kingdom of God, that brings it all back together. So Josiah, I'm so glad you've joined us today. So tell us a little bit about your background and your experience working with people in their finances and kind of why this topic is important to you.
Certainly. So yeah, I love the intro that you just gave in terms of connecting everything that your audience is trying to do with their business and their finances to purpose. That is huge in the work that I'm doing with clients. So me and my wife, we started our marriage with over $200,000 in debt.
Wow.
And yeah, a lot. And it was over $100,000 of that was student loan debt. We also had credit cards, car loans, a personal loan. And we just, we found ourselves not able to make progress forward. We ended up selling the home which gave us a little bit of a boost, and then kind of moving forward from there, we realized we've got to start managing our money better. And so we started working together on our finances. We started following Dave Ramsey's principles, and we started listening to his podcast a lot, reading his books and kind of learning. So we went the Dave Ramsey route,
That's awesome.
With some ish along the way, as some people say, there's Dave Ramsey ish.
Dave Ramsey ish. I get it.
When we think about that journey, we realized that we wanted to help other people in that journey. And so we both got certified as Ramsey Financial Coaches. And we, my wife is, she went through the program too and is certified, but she decided it wasn't really her passion as much as mine. So I ended up basically continuing moving forward with the business and becoming a Ramsey Preferred Coach. And then I am working on another certification, accredited financial counselor certification, in the process of that right now as well. Which requires experience hours, and it looks like I've already got the 1,000 hours, so I'm really glad about
That's awesome.
So I've worked with enough clients now to realize that there's some typical things people come across that where they struggle, and it comes down to a few of those really important basic principles. And a lot of times people kind of say the same things. You actually already said it in the intro to the podcast. We're running out of money every month. We're struggling. We don't know why.
Sure.
So exactly. But I really enjoy trying to help people to see why they're struggling and how they can get out of it and see the result that comes out of that.
Well, and that's such a wonderful segue, because the thing is that I think is the most important is that there has to be a practical approach. People will readily admit the problem. You know, mm-hmm. there's more month at the end of the money than we have the resources to cover everything, you know, or,
yeah.
you know, I realize, okay, I'm making it, but I want to do better. Or maybe another scenario is, you know what, God's really blessed me and I'm abundantly blessed. I've got a successful business, or I've got a great career, or, you know, I just got a big inheritance, or whatever it is, right? And so there may be any number of scenarios, whether you're just barely scraping by, or like, hey, look, we're doing okay, but man, I'm not making forward progress to, hey, I'm doing very well. Any one of those situations necessitates taking practical steps to be a better and wise steward. So, and that's what we wanted to talk about today, is some practical steps to wise money management. And so what are some of the first, what is step number one if someone's going to take control of their finances and be a wise steward? Because we know the Bible talks about being a steward. I mean, this is something we've talked about in depth on this podcast and in other episodes. But if in the concept of steward, you're a manager, right? You're managing what the resources that God has blessed you with, and you want to do that wisely. So what is step number one if someone's going to be a wise steward?
So let me start with the kind of a broad step, and then I'm going to focus it in on a very specific step that somebody can do. So the first, the broad step is awareness, and that is knowing what's going on with your money. And not just your money, but with your personality and your behaviors and your habits around money. So if you know, so it's becoming aware of where you are at. And a lot of times that's hard. It sounds like it's so simple, but it's hard to do for many people. We get busy. We've got so many other priorities, so many competing things that we're trying to work with. And then we also, sometimes we don't want to see it. We bury our head in the sand about it. We're like, well, if I
ignore it long enough, it'll go away.
It'll go away. It'll be one of those problems. It'll just go away if I ignore it long enough, or if I just make a little bit more money, if I just work a little harder, if I just try. And so people do what I call being intentional without the awareness. So it's intentionality without awareness leads to spinning your wheels, basically. And yes. So,
which is frustration and why a lot of people fall off the financial stewardship bandwagon to begin with.
Yeah.
Because they feel that frustration. They never make progress and get traction.
Yeah, exactly. So, what I try to do then is help people to gain that awareness. And one of the first very specific steps that is the foundation of most personal finance success is budgeting. And so, and
that
budgeting
dirty word that no one likes.
Exactly. I was about to say that budgeting tends to be a word that a lot of people are like, I've tried that before. It doesn't work for me. Or I don't want to hear it, or just kind of avoiding that, the whole idea, because for some people, I mean, it brings to mind spreadsheets. It brings to mind the idea that I have to do it in a particular manner or a particular way. I have to do it the way that somebody else does it. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, there's practical ways to do it in different methods. I will say, though, there is a particular method that I have found works with most of my clients that I will talk about a little bit more today. And that is a zero-based budget. And I tend to break it down into three major steps. And that is number one, and I'm noticing that with my screen here, I'm sorry, Hunter, I'm just wanting to make sure
you're fine.
That I'm seeing whenever you talk that I see that the audio is showing, but whenever I talk, I don't see audio showing. Are we good to go?
I see it. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. All right. Sorry to the audience. Right. Just on a technical technical thing. But all right. Yeah, so now that I've left you in suspense about the budgeting steps,
cliffhanger. Budget. Cliffhanger. Wait, come back. Right.
So step number one is to plan out all your expenses. You need to be planning on a monthly basis, like what we're planning to spend. If you are at the beginning of the month and you think that you're going to spend about $300 in groceries, then you need to put that in a budget and put that on a plan and on a sheet and and match that with or allocate that according to your actual income. So if you're bringing in $5,000 for the month, and then you look at your expenses and you plan it all out, and then you realize, uh-oh, we're going to be a little bit short. Or maybe you say, oh, we're going to have $500 left. Great. Let's put it towards savings. So, or let's put it towards the debt. So you can actually, you plan it out.
Mm-hmm. So when you say zero-based budget, you mean you're going to plan your budget to where there's $0 left unaccounted for that at the end of the month, where every dollar that comes in has a plan, an action plan. You've budgeted every one of those dollars all the way out to where you get down to zero. And then that means you've budgeted every dollar instead of being like, oh, here's all my bills, and like everything extra is just kind of left out there hanging.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that the method of, if you don't use a zero base where you're not intentionally placing every dollar, you might end up with some savings, you might end up doing okay, but you've lost a lot of opportunity in my mind to redirect those dollars in the direction that you want them to go. So you want to be intentional about every dollar. So that means that you are going to be exactly as you said. You're going to be, don't leave any money hanging. If you have extra in your budget, you should plan it towards one of your goals. So usually that's debt payoff or savings or investing, one of those three. It could be other savings. It could be other types of goals, but or it could be more giving. But for the most part, those are usually the three. If people have extra money, they're going to either want to pay off some debt, get rid of some interest, or they're going to want to save it, or they're going to want to invest it. So if once you've planned it all out, kind of jumping into the next step, you want to track and categorize. Now, this is a step, it's like people will sometimes do every once in a while. You might do this before you plan out the first time so that you actually have good planning numbers. But this should be done on a regular basis after you plan every month so that you can know whether your plan is actually reality. And that's where a lot of people miss it, is because they're not really tracking. They'll plan out for the month, and then they check at the end of the month. Sometimes they'll track it, and at the end of the month, they'll see that they went over, but because they didn't track it throughout the month, or they didn't actually put them into an app or spreadsheet or into something that they can refer back to and actually see the numbers as they related to the planned amounts, then you're missing a big piece of the awareness here. You need to know what's going on with your money. You need to be realistic with what's going on in order to make good changes moving forward from there. So,
well, it's kind of like the scripture that talks about, you know, if someone goes to build a tower, they've got to consider the cost. You got to count the cost on the front end. And so this takes work. Another scripture that comes to mind is to know diligently the state of thy flocks. And I apologize, I don't know the references offhand, but I do know that those are in there. And so what you have to do is you have to realize, okay, yes, it's going to take effort. Work is probably a strong word here because it is work, but that's not a nice word. So let's use the word effort because that's a lot more realistic. That's more achievable. I can put effort into this, right? And so I think that if people are I like how you said intentional about putting the effort required to really get this dialed in, they may not get it perfect the first month or the second month or 6 months, right? But if you start making the steps towards this, I believe that God honors what you're doing and he gets in the middle of it. Because something that, and this is something, again, we talk about on the Blessed Business Podcast, is we're not just doing this on our own. We have help, and that help comes from above. But the thing is, God looks at us and says, okay, step one is, yes, I want to bless you, but are you following the basic principles found in my word? You know,
can I trust you?
I trust you? Are you managing this wisely? And again, you don't have to read the Bible very much before you run across over and over again the concept of stewardship, both stewarding your opportunities, stewarding your relationship with God, stewarding your money and your finances. Jesus talked about these things. I mean, this the parable of the talents. There's so many different iterations of this in the Bible where it really talks about this in so many different aspects that this is a critical topic. And so if you're not willing to put the effort into this and doing it right, again, that doesn't mean you have to be a spreadsheet nerd and have code your own app to build out your, integrations with all your software to manage your banking apps and, categorizing everything. That's it doesn't have to be that complicated.
No. But if I can talk about some of the ways to make it simple in terms of what that looks
But if you make it, again, this podcast is about being practical. Once you understand this is the concept, how do we make it practical from there?
Yep. Yeah. And I want to mention one thing before I talk about how you can simplify those steps there. One thing about what you just mentioned about the importance of, or how God looks at it, and he wants to be able to trust you with the resources that he's given you. If you look at a lot of the people that were used in the Bible, and we look at Abraham, we look at Paul, we look at Peter and some of the other apostles, we look at a lot, they were all, before God called them, they actually already had a modicum of success. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by, and the importance of that is realizing the stewardship was part of, I think, the criteria or part of what made God look at them as, I can use you in a big way because you're showing me that you manage your affairs well. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if you think about it, we can break that down, but look at Abraham. I mean, go ahead. You were about to say something.
Well, I was, you got me going there.
Go for it.
I think of, and again, stewardship takes different forms because you look at Peter and Paul, they are extremely different people, right?
Yeah.
So Peter is a fisherman.
Yeah.
Paul is a scholar, right?
Yeah. Well, but they were both successful fishermen.
But they were both successful. Yes, they were, because Peter had a successful fishing business. And that's, if you actually read through the Bible, he wasn't like a poor fisherman, as some people think. Like he had his own boat. I mean, that was, that took a high level of success at that time. He had people working with him, right? And so
unlearned, but that doesn't.
Yes. You don't have to have a PhD to start a fishing business, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, wherever he found himself, he was diligent with it, and he had developed the same skills of being a steward of his opportunities as Paul did. He had the opportunity to sit at the feet of some of the most prestigious scholars of the day, and you know what? Yeah. He diligently did that. He may not even have known, if you'd given him a fishing pole and the best tackle in the world, he may not have been able to catch anything when it comes to fish, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't matter because the area that God had gifted him and given him talents in and gave him opportunities in, he wisely took advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so I think that, and again, this is kind of veering a little bit off of the financial side of things, but if understanding that from a stewardship standpoint, that if you manage what you have, where you're at right now, then God will give you more and you will find yourself before too long in a place that has a lot more to manage. So let's jump into, so budgeting is step one, but what is a practical, we understand why, but what are some practical ways
So I need to finish the third step of budgeting first.
Oh, yes, the third step.
Because if we don't get to that third step, that's where a lot of people kind of fall off the wagon or lose it. It doesn't, if they don't finish it, then it becomes an exercise where they don't really know what happened. So that third step is to readjust and reallocate. Readjust and reallocate. And what does that mean? That means that you planned out everything you wanted to spend for the month. You said, I was going to spend such and such on each category. Then you track and categorize your expenses. You take those expenses, you drop them into the right categories. You basically say, okay, it looks like we actually spent about $250 on gas instead of $300. Great, we've got $50 left over. So where are you going to put that? That's the next question. And so you're going to take that $50, you need to move it somewhere else in your budget where you need it. Maybe you went over out to eat. You went too many times out to eat and you went over budget on that. And so you need to take the money you saved on your gas and put it towards your out to eat. Or you might find that you had some unexpected expenses, some emergencies happened that month. You might find that you can't actually save the $500 that you were planning to save. And you end up only being able to save $200 because you had some unexpected things come up and you had to cover those. Well, you need to adjust that in your budget so that you are very clear on what those numbers are. And then when you go into the next month, it's you are much more able to plan based on real numbers versus planning kind of new every month. So the the plan can only get better as you do this process of readjusting and reallocating.
Gotcha. So to recap here, there's three parts to the budget, right?
Yes.
So what are those three parts?
So number one, plan out all of your expenses. Number two, track and categorize them. And number three, readjust and reallocate the money.
Okay.
Based on how. And a very simple way to do that is an app. I tend to recommend Every Dollar. It's put out by Dave Ramsey.
That's what I was going to ask. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
there's other ones like Mint.com and different ones as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we all know, if we're just real, that Dave Ramsey, he's made his name on finances and budgeting, right? We don't all have to agree with him and like him, but we do know that he is one of the experts in that. And we've actually used that in the past. And, you know, a little bit of our story is when we first got married, we were in debt. We had things. And that's what we did. We took the Dave Ramsey approach, and we've actually used the Every Dollar app at different times. And so I definitely would recommend that, because that helps you categorize it, make it a lot simpler. It's a very practical step that you can take.
Yeah. People might wonder, how much time am I going to have to spend on this? And I will say, usually to set it up, to get it all working, get your categories in the right order and so forth, you're talking about a couple hours. But once you get this process moving, you can do the whole thing, as in like dragging and dropping the transactions into the categories and readjusting, reallocating for the next month. It can happen in 30 minutes to an hour a month at the most. I mean, it can be fast once you have been doing this for a few months. So it usually takes 3 or 4 months for someone to get comfortable with this process and get to a point where the budget doesn't feel like just this massive chore.
Mm, I like that, because if it's a chore, if it's another job, I'm probably not going to do it. I think that's good. So if you can dedicate yourself to getting it honed in, dialed in, and be committed to that process for the first little bit, then it gets easier with time. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, let's move on. So let's talk about, all right, so that's budgeting.
Yep.
But what is something else? If step one is awareness, step two is budgeting, what would step three be on this as far as some practical steps for wise money management?
Yeah. So I'm going to let's just go practical. So if the first step, because I kind of think of it broadly as awareness is that first like big step, but really the first practical step in terms of like, what do I do, would be that budgeting. And then the second, really after that, now that I've got the budgeting under control, what do I do with that budgeting? Well, the first thing, Dave Ramsey's steps say save $1,000. But I'm going to actually say that the first thing that needs to happen before you can even save $1,000, before you can even save that emergency fund, is building some margin in your budget, building margin in your account. So this means that you should never be getting down to zero in your bank account. So as you're creating the budget, you are leaving some money out to make sure you have a little extra in the account, or you're reallocating your paycheck. So like the last paycheck of last month, that one should go towards the current month. That shouldn't be last month's money. Because if you think about, a lot of people are paid every 2 weeks. And let's say you get paid on the 27th. And what are you going to do until the 10th of the month? There's no money.
That's not very wise.
So you need to take that 27th of the month check and make sure it's allocated toward the following month, and so that you have you're budgeting forward. Okay. Very simple thing, but it's actually, I would say most of my clients, that's the hardest thing to do for those who have been negative, those who have been struggling the most. And
it's hard to get over that hump.
It's hard to get over that hump. And once you get ahead, once you get, that's really, it changes everything because you realize, wow, I'm not falling behind on my bills anymore. I am actually paying everything on time. I am not going negative in my bank account and paying fees. I am actually able to, I have enough money to cover all my bills on time. That's just, that's a mind blowing for some people when they get to that point.
So I know one thing as a business owner, I'm in real estate and I've been a business owner for a long, long time. And so your income is like all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So you may make $5,000 this month or $50,000 or nothing. You just don't know. And so it all depends on how the deals come through, right? And so, or you maybe get a big check 1 month and then nothing for 2 or 3 months. And so that's kind of how real estate can be sometimes. Now I've thankfully got some passive income we've built up through the land business that we have. But in general, there is big ebbs and flows. So what we did early on is we did the Dave Ramsey approach. We got out of debt, worked towards this. But then what we did is we actually got to the point where we saved up anywhere between 1 and 3 months worth of what we call bill money. And we have a separate savings account that we put money into that because ours is very irregular. So we may get that, you know, $15,000 check. But we don't spend it all this month, right? We put it in the account and say, okay, we're going to budget, let's say $5,000 a month as our budget. So that's going to be basically 3 months worth of runway on our budget money, right? And then as we make money, we replenish that account. And so, and then if we get like a whole lot more and that's full, it's like, okay, now we can start attacking some of our other objectives, but we try to keep that full so that at the beginning of on the first of every month, basically what we do is we move money from, you know, that 5,000 from that account or whatever it is, from that account into our, personal checking account and all the different areas and pull it out for our budgeting. That way at the beginning of every month, we know the bills are paid, right?
Yeah.
That way as a business owner, I don't get paid every 2 weeks. Right. Yeah. I can't budget that way. So I have to do it that way. And a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners listening to this, it can be very challenging to get to that point.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, whatever form depending on that you can get to, depending on your income stream, getting ahead and getting over that hump is absolutely a game changer for being able to be a better manager and a better budgeter because you're not living stressed all the time and paying unnecessary fees.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. And I love that you just reminded me that this of your audience is many entrepreneurs and business owners. There is another thing that has, or a couple other strategies that people can use. One is a Hills and Valleys fund. When it comes to basically, if you know that you're going to have down months, you are saving up similar to your bill money account. But you would be
like a landscaper or someone like that.
But
has seasons in their business.
You have seasons in your business. You know that you're going to have short months. Then you would save enough money in a fund in your budget and in your checking account or in your savings account, wherever you want to put it. Where you allocate it is somewhat personal and have different people doing different ways. But the concept is that you are saving up for those down months and making so that your cash flow is consistent in terms of your ability to pay things. The way that I handle that is through Profit First, Mike Michalowicz. It's the Profit First system. And so that has really made a difference for my business as well with those ups and downs is being able to have money set aside for taxes, money set aside for all these different things, but also building up in the owner's comp account, making sure that there's some extra money to be able to pay me in the down months and kind of averaging that out. So yeah, that's great.
That's great.
And so,
I was going to say, we're kind of running a little low on time for this episode. So but we haven't even like really got to unpack it. So we're going to have to break this up into multiple parts.
It's amazing how budgeting can be so, can take so much time just the budgeting piece. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's when I'm working with clients, it takes 2 or 3 months sometimes just to get through what we just talked about, just to get it all dialed in with what we're talking about here.
And see, you're getting in 30 minutes or less. See, that's why you're a subscriber to the Blessed Business Podcast, right? Because you're going to have this down. No, I'm teasing. So, but before we wrap up for part one, because we're going to have to break this up into a couple parts here. So for part one, so we talked about, you know, the awareness, we talked about budgeting, but then kind of what we were leading into is talking about building that emergency fund. You mentioned the $1,000 emergency fund, but then you also talk about really building that buffer that in your life, whether that
building margin,
checking a build, or yeah, building margin. I like that in your checking account, in your budget, everything. And then we kind of let that lead into basically building that margin as either a business owner or with your paychecks, depending on your stream of your flow, your income flow, making sure you're managing that well. But as we kind of are wrapping up for part one, what are some other things we need to save for? So once you get that, you know, that margin in your life, once you get your $1,000 baby emergency fund, what are some other things we need to focus on with savings?
So this can be very individual, can depend on the person and what your goals are. So ultimately it needs to be attached to what you care about, right? So, and if you, back to purpose. And so what does this look like? Well, so I have a couple different categories that I might use funds for, what we call sinking funds. And you would build up a certain amount of money. So one of the obvious ones is, I often say that Christmas usually comes in December, right? And so
usually it does.
Christmas is coming around. I mean, we're still in April right now at the time of this recording. But we've got, I think, what, 7 months then? Okay, 7 months
coming.
Until
it's definitely going to be there.
It's going to be there. And most people spend money at Christmas, a good amount. And lots of people end up in a bunch of credit card debt that they then have to try to pay off in January and February. So think about that new year is now dampened. You have this brand new year, like, man, I'm gonna just take over the world here. And now you got this chain of a whole bunch of credit card debt hanging around your neck because you didn't prepare for Christmas. So that is an example of something that you can take time or you can put into your budget, and you can just do a quick calculation, figure out how many people you're going to buy presents for, figure out how many parties you're going to host, try to calculate how much you spent last year or calculate how much you think you're going to spend. And then you just divide it by how many months you got left. So if we got 7 months and you know you're going to spend $700 around Christmas, most people spend a lot more. But if you're going to spend $700 around Christmas, then you should be allocating $100 a month towards that sinking fund for Christmas.
Between now and then,
every month.
You know, that's a good point. So we actually had this happen the first year or two. We like, amazing. Christmas comes December 25th. Like, how did we miss this? How did we not see this coming? And so as newlyweds, and so we started doing that. We started, in January, we're going to start putting money back every single month towards this. And the other thing is that allows you to take advantage of like sales throughout the year. There, you know, Black Friday sales, even throughout the year, there may be President's Day sales or whatever. But when you have money set aside, if you're like, we go to Costco and they may have something that's limited quantity, like one year, like everyone got a hammock because we love to hammock, and they had hammocks for like $9.99. Oh, everyone who got a hammock now knows how much we spent on them, right? And so for $10 or $15, whatever it was, you know, we could get someone a hammock. And so we bought three or four of them, and because we had money set aside in our budget. And then we have a box that we go put these things in. And then at the end of the year, we have our list of who all we're getting a gift for. And then some of those we buy in December. And then a lot of those throughout the year. We recently traveled last year to London and to England, you know, to the UK. And we wanted, because we had budgeted beforehand, we were able to buy a lot of our Christmas gifts in advance. And so we were able to do that. And that was a very cool, unique gift for people to get something from across the world. But if we hadn't have planned in advance, we couldn't have done that. Or like you said, we would have had to go into debt or pull from savings or whatever. And so the other thing we had to decide, and this has a broader implications. this sounds terrible, but we had to start cutting people off the gift list. And so, because you have to, when you look at this and you're like, oh, we want to get a gift for Johnny and Susie and their friends and like our cousins and like all these people. And it's like, well, let's spend $50 on this person and $50 on this person, $100 on this person and $20 on this person. And you look at it and you're like, oh, wait, that's $10,000.
But you only see the $10,000 if you actually look at the numbers. And that's
exactly
why one of the benefits of actually doing this calculation ahead of time is that you realize how much this is really going to be. And then it motivates you. We can't spend that much. We better cut
some. Exactly. Well, and also cutting the amounts down and being very practical and then getting creative. You know, I mean, we're blessed. We're financially fairly well off. God's blessed us. But at the same time, as stewards, we realize, okay, every wedding shower that comes up, every baby that shower that comes up, every, you know, birthday that comes up, every person that we know, we are not obligated to go spend $100 on that person. Because if we did, we would be spending a $10,000, $15,000 a year on these people. And it's like, that's just not practical, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that. It's a slight hyperbole, but still significantly more than we'd budgeted. That's why as a steward, you have to make hard decisions sometimes to say, you know what? The truth of the matter is my commitment to stewardship and being a wise steward and practicing wise money management is more important. And because my identity comes from God and I want his favor in my life and I want to be trustworthy to him, that's more important than the temporary euphoric feeling I get of giving this gift to this person. And I may find another way. Instead of a $50 or something, I may get them a $5 Starbucks card, right? And a thank you and write a personalized thank you note. Or we may get them a hammock from Costco for $9.99. But the truth of the matter is a lot of people are pressured into giving when giving and generosity should come from the heart. It should be this consumerism mentality that I'm obligated to go spend $50 or $100 on everyone that's going to be at the Christmas party at the family reunion. That's just a false paradigm. And that's part of materialism that I personally don't agree with. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a wise steward, you have to recognize, I like how you used awareness to start out with. You have to become aware of this. And once you start all the things you talked about, allocating your spending, tracking it, figuring it out, little categories like that, whether you're in business, it may be company meals, right? Like, man, we didn't realize we're spending $100 a day on lunches, you know, and that's $500 a week. And then you look at a month and you spent $2,000 or $3,000. And then I was talking to a small business owner, a medium-sized business owner the other day. And he was like, I look back and I spent, you know, over $10,000 or $15,000 to almost $20,000 on meals and entertainment and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, I didn't realize it went that far. At the end of the year, when my CPA told me, I'm like, what? How? And so whether in your personal life, whether in your personal finances or your business finances, getting control of that and being a wise steward is important. And if you want to become a better steward, we have some tips and some more practical advice for you, but that's going to be in part two. So,
yep.
So thank you again, Josiah, for joining us for today's part one of this financial management of this, budgeting and all these things, but really on this quest for practical steps to wise money management. So thank you again for your time today, and we'll see you again in the next episode.